Room 12B. When the motel manager hands me a key for room 12B, I pause and look up at him. 12B? Is there a 12A? His greedy black eyes are looking me up and down, scrutinizing my curves. But when I ask that question, he suddenly looks uncomfortable and annoyed at the same time. He takes a long drag of his cigarette before answering. Yeah? On the other side of the complex. Room 12B's the last free room I've got tonight. That a problem? His attitude isn't exactly friendly, but it's what I'd expect from a man like him, so it doesn't surprise me. I fix a smile on my painted lips and try to remember why I'm here. By tomorrow, how he treats me won't matter anymore. I'll be long gone. No. I've just never had a room number that wasn't whole before, that's all. Thanks for your help. I tail off, waiting for him to volunteer his name. Troy. Thanks for your help, Troy. Have a good evening. He doesn't smile. Instead, with a last disturbing look that confirms exactly what kind of a man he is, he walks away from the front desk to return to the baseball game he's watching on TV. I can see beer and nachos next to his armchair, along with a discarded cigarette. I pick up my suitcase and leave. Once outside, I pass rows of windows, all with closed curtains hiding loud televisions and secret inhabitants. I continue until I reach room 12B. One glance is enough to tell me the door's lock is basically redundant, the door being so old and loose it could easily be kicked in. I would expect nothing less from this establishment. So far, it's exactly how I pictured the hard-locked motel. Once inside, a musty smell hits me, and peeling wallpaper catches my eye. I have to ignore it all. I mean, what do I expect for $40 a night? I place my suitcase onto one of the beds, ignoring the cigarette holes in the thin blanket, and turn on the TV. A true crime program catches my interest. It's about a poor female murder victim, as usual. Male victims tend not to interest mass audiences. I sit in the lone armchair and drink the rest of my cold Starbucks latte. It's sweeter than usual, as it contains a double shot of bourbon I added myself. I'll be needing the pleasant mix of caffeine and alcohol at some point tonight, I'm sure. The shouting coming from next door is annoying and would probably feel threatening to other lone female travelers, but not me. There's little that scares me anymore. Not after what happened. Bored, I dig my cell phone out of my purse and Google the meaning of splitting rooms into 12A and 12B. I'm surprised by the results. According to this, people are so superstitious about the number 13 that hotels and motels won't number their floors or rooms 13. I scroll down further. There are urban legends that state many of the deaths that occur in hotels do so in rooms with 13 in their number. Although fascinating, I laugh at the stupidity of some people and throw my cheap, disposable burner phone on the bed. This is still the 13th room in the motel, whether it's numbered as such or not. Why would that make me any more likely to die here? Feeling sweaty from the day's humidity, I head to the small bathroom and pull back the shower curtain, shuddering as I see the dirt that awaits me in the cubicle. I place my toiletry bag under the sink and take out a few vital items. There's nowhere to put them in the cubicle but the floor. After stripping off my clothes, I pile them neatly on the toilet and step under the lukewarm water. Over the sound of the shower, I can't hear next door's arguing anymore, and I can pretend I'm already in Mexico, my final destination. I picture the palm trees and sandy beaches with cocktails waiting for me in the beach bar. I just have to survive tonight, and then my long journey will be finished. As I wash my hair, I notice a round hole in one of the ceramic tiles. It's large enough that my finger goes all the way through the wall that's behind it. Is it the result of damage or a man-made peephole? Suddenly, something changes and the air in this small room becomes stifling. The hairs on my arms stand up. I hear shuffling noises behind me and spin round. Through the shower curtain, I can see a dark mass, the backlit figure of an overweight man. He's slowly approaching me. I don't scream. I watch him as I slowly crouch down, reaching for the items I placed on the floor earlier, until my hand settles on what I'm looking for. I turn the shower off and let the water slow to a warm drip on my shoulders. As I reach for the shower curtain, my hands are steady. When I pull it aside, I see Troy. He's licking his lips, but he's weaponless. I know from the way he killed my sister that he prefers to use his hands. I smile at him. Care to join me? His smile falters only slightly before he steps towards me. In his delusional mind, it's perfectly normal for the naked woman he wants to kill to invite him for shower first. Acutely aware that I only have one chance to get this right, I diligently plunge my syringe into his neck and administer a shot of poison into his carotid artery. He doesn't realize what's happening at first, but when he does, it's satisfying to watch his confused reaction. Still naked, I smile down at him as he sinks to the floor. He's looking up at me in disbelief and wincing with the pain of the poison entering his blood system. "Oh, Troy," I say, crossing my arms, "you really should have put me in room 11."